Genesis chapter 12, familiar verses here. I want to use this by way of introduction here this afternoon. Genesis chapter 12, and I want to just mention here, this is kind of the fruits of reading and preparing for something else and some things that were mentioned, and it led me to start digging into some things, and it also reminded me of years ago. I was listening to a sermon by a preacher named Keith Gomez in Elgin, Illinois. And he referenced and quoted extensively from a book. It's entitled Eye to Eye, written by William Koenig. And so I just want to share with you some things that the Lord showed me when I was re-looking at that and revisiting that. Notice Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. All right, so is this Israel or Abram? Abram, all right? So the singular is a singular pronoun. So we're talking about an individual. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. All singular pronouns. Obviously, the Lord talking to Abram here. And I will bless them that bless thee. Again, singular pronoun. And curse him that curseth thee. So thee is referring to Abram and not the nation as far as this promise is concerned. And in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. And let me just mention this here as I was doing some reading and looking at this again. Years ago, as I said, I kind of followed up on that, but I never extensively. In fact, I even repeated some of the stuff he said. And looking into it, I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's some other scriptures that need to be considered. First of all, his name is William Koenig, and so just out of curiosity, I looked that name up. The name Koenig is German and Jewish, and I mentioned this in passing, and that's why I wanted to go ahead and address it, but Jewish, Ashkenazic, by the way, Ashkenazi Jews, and from the name is from Middle High German, Kunig, and German Koenig, meaning king. Hence, a German nickname for a servant or retainer of a king, or alternatively, a status name for the head of a craftsman's guild or a society of sharpshooters or minstrels. As a Jewish surname, notice, as a Jewish surname, it is artificial one of several Ashkenazic names based on European titles of nobility or royalty. In some cases, further on in this definition of the name Koenig, in some cases also an American shortened form of the compound artificial Jewish names, of which Koenig is the first element. So that tells us this is an Ashkenazi name, and that tells us this William Koenig has an agenda that he's trying to prove. That grabbed my attention right there. But I want to give you some examples here of evidence. Land for peace curses, and this is why America is judged from time to time, according to this book. In fact, there's even a website online that I visited here this last week. This is an article that kind of summarizes some things from this book, and so I'm just giving you a summary here. Some disasters appear to be related to God's promise to bless those who bless Israel, but curse those who slight Israel. Here's some examples going clear back to 1991 from the book, and then there's also some that are included on the website as well. October 30, 1991, as President George Bush, Sr., is opening the Madrid conference to consider land for peace and Israel's Middle East role, the perfect storm develops in the North Atlantic, creating the largest waves ever recorded in that region. The storm travels 1,000 miles from east to west instead of the normal west-to-east pattern and crashes into the New England coast. 35-foot waves crash into the Kennebunkport home of President Bush. August 23, 1992. When the Madrid conference moves to Washington, D.C., and peace talks resume, Hurricane Andrew, the worst natural disaster ever to hit America, comes ashore, producing an estimated $30 billion in damage and leaving 108,000 homeless in Florida. January 16, 1994, President Bill Clinton meets with Syria's President al-Assad in Geneva. They talk about a peace agreement with Israel that includes giving up the Golan Heights. Within 24 hours, a powerful 6.9 on the Richter scale earthquake rocks Southern California. The Northridge earthquake becomes the second most destructive natural disaster that hit the United States behind Hurricane Andrew. January 21, 1998, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meets present with President Clinton at the White House and is coldly received. Clinton and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright refuse to have lunch with him. Shortly afterwards, on that day, the Monica Lewinsky scandal breaks into the mass media and begins to occupy the major portion of Clinton's time. Let me ask you, is that a judgment because of his dealings with Israel, or is that a judgment because of his wickedness? Again, we have to be careful how we read history and the news. December 28, 1998, Secretary of State Albright works on the final details of an agreement in which Israel would give up 13% of Judea and Samaria. Hurricane George slams into the United States Gulf Coast, winds of 110 miles per hour, gusting up to 175 miles per hour. Hurricane George stalls. Clinton meets with Arafat and Netanyahu in the White House to finalize this land deal. Later, Arafat addresses the United Nations about declaring an independent Palestinian state. By May 1999, Hurricane George pounds the Gulf Coast, causing $1 billion in damage. At the exact time Arafat departs the country, the storm starts to dissipate. Another one here. December 12th, I'm just kind of skipping down through these here. December 12, 1998, Clinton lands in the Palestinian-controlled section of Israel to discuss the Land for Peace process. The House of Representatives votes 4 articles of impeachment against Clinton. That's because he violated the Constitution, right, not because he was there for Land for Peace deals. Here's my point of this. I'm not going to continue down through these, but here's my point of this. That is caused by the curse. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. We have to be very, very, very careful about looking at the news and finding fulfillments of prophecy in them. Yeah. I want you to think about this. So every flood, fire, storm, political scandal, et cetera, is God's judgment for how we treat Israel, how we deal with Israel. Is that right? By the way, one of the other things that's mentioned in the book that I didn't read, I don't think I actually even saw that on the list. One of the things that was mentioned by Koenig is Ross Perot was God's judgment on George Bush because of Ross Perot entering the election. He was not reelected. Ross Perot was political strategy by the Democrats. That was not the judgment of God on George Bush. Again, we have to be careful, very careful, how we read the news and interpret them according to God's plan. Notice Genesis chapter 3. Here's the cause for all these storms. All right, so what about long before there was even a nation of America? What about long before, even clear back in the first century? Earthquakes destroying entire cities, volcanoes destroying entire cities. Was that a part of the same curse that we're talking about? Again, they're reinterpreting news to prove their point. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, here's the cause of all these storms. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Let's notice an interpretation of this in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. Here's the real cause for all of those storms. Romans chapter 8, and notice with me verse 18 and following. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Notice the earnest expectation of the creature, the creation itself, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Nature, creation is waiting for us to receive our glorified bodies so that it's not suffering and going through travail anymore. Verse 21, because the creature itself, again, by creature, we're talking about Genesis chapter 3, the effects of Adam's fall into sin. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's why we have to have knee replacements. That's why we have to have surgeries and all those things. Why? Because we still suffer the effects of the curse of sin. So with that said, let me ask you this. Again, if that book and that website is accurate, if that's true, was America blessed by God during Donald Trump's presidency then? He bombed Israel's enemies more than any president before him. He moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and created quite a stir, moving it from Tel Aviv. He converted to Judaism in 2017. He became one of them in 2017, according to Israeli news sources. In fact, there was a video of him and Melania praying at the Wailing Wall. So if those things are true, that America was cursed because of Land for Peace, Road to Peace, and all those things, types of plans that were going on, during Donald Trump's presidency, were we blessed by God because we were blessing Israel? Notice with me Deuteronomy 28. These verses all came to flood into my mind as I was meditating on this. And again, this was all brought back to my mind because something else I was reading. But notice Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and following. This passage is used in relation to the blessings and curses of Israel. But what I think is very interesting is chapter 28, it used to be, from what I was reading in history and another source, the presidents of the United States used to take an oath of office on a Bible open to Deuteronomy 28. I think that's amazing. They used to have the Bible open to Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and curses that were announced for Israel depending on their obedience to God's law. Now, I want you to notice a little bit of this in relation to Donald Trump's presidency and the nation of Israel. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, I should say, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice. Notice if. If you don't obey, then you're going to receive the curses. That's clearly what this passage is about. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Think about this. Our presidents giving their oath of office with the Bible open to this page, this book, this chapter right here. Notice that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If, there's our conditional word again. That's very important for us to notice that word here in this passage. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed thou shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thee. Notice this is the source. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. There shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep. Notice, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. For not obeying the word of God, then guess what? There's no blessing on our nation. And walk in his ways. Walk according to what he says we should do. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground. America has been a prosperous nation until recently. In the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Pause there just a moment. Thou shalt lend unto many nations and shalt not borrow. Why are we $1 trillion in debt to China? Right. And can I point out something here? If we no longer obey, so we cannot claim the blessing of God to our nation. This is given for the nation of Israel by application. If we obey God according to our nation, then I believe that God will bless our land. Right. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If, how many times this word is used? Probably in this chapter, if is the key word. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Observe to do. That's a very interesting study of the Bible. Just look up that phrase. Type in that phrase into a Bible search. Observe to do. You're amazed at how many times the Bible pulls it up or mentions that phrase. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. Here's the condition for the blessing of God. To the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So is Donald Trump a good Christian, righteous president? And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and, notice, overtake thee. Just for the sake of time, drop down to verse 21. This is a long chapter. I'm not going to read it all. All right, so were we blessed by God during the Donald Trump era as he supported Israel? And even, was it 3 peace deals he was able to announce in his presidency? That doesn't sound like land for peace. All right, so he's working out peace with Israel's enemies. So where's the blessing of God upon our nation? Verse 21, the Lord shall make the what? Pestilence. Was it not during Donald Trump's presidency that we had a so-called pandemic? Globally. You see, here's the point. We cannot go to the news to find out what God is doing. We must go to the Word of God. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. There are life insurance companies that are saying that the death rate has increased dramatically since the vaccine, so-called. Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with the blasting and the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Oh, we've not perished yet, but America is not anything what it used to be. All you have to do is read books from the 1800s and you find out we're not anything what we used to be. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. You do a search. I've seen news headlines about this here quite often here lately. How is it? Well, it's like a third of America is under droughts, extreme drought conditions. Is that the blessing of God or the curse? Then notice verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. All right, so how many foreigners do we have now in our country? Of course, they're just opening the borders up to let them all come in right now. And thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. And he shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. All right, so let me ask you, what's going to happen if we go to war with China? And they shut off their trade with us. By the way, the sanctions against Russia are not hurting them. They're hurting Europe, but they're not hurting Russia. They had record wheat harvest and exports. So you think about China. They own $1 trillion of our debt. They produce most of our pharmaceuticals. Think about this. People can't get insulin, they can't get medicines because China's no longer trading with us because we go to war with them. I don't know why Nancy Pelosi is in Taiwan. If you want to read a very interesting summary of that, read Chuck Baldwin's headline of his news article this last week. Just the headline. All you have to do is read the headline. It's a good summary of Nancy Pelosi's decades in office. Notice, he shall be the head and thou shalt be the tail. Can I remind you that China has controlled us for many years now? Not only that, but our computers, they control, they make a lot of our components. Literally, China has the power and the ability to shut our nation down. Have we even thought about that? China will be the head and we'll be the tail. Does that sound like the blessing of God? Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee. Notice the wording here. Till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Can I remind you that that was given to the nation of Israel? Can I also remind you that the nation of Israel, as it currently stands, is under God's curse and not his blessing? Listen to me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a verse in this passage that I've taken us to before. There's a verse that grabbed my attention as I was reminding myself of the wording of that book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Again, my whole point is we have to be very careful about looking at the news to understand, to see what God is doing as far as his plan and his purpose. We must start with the Word of God. It says, "For ye, brethren," verse 14, "became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us." This is Israel and the Jews in the first century. "And they please not God and are contrary to all men." That was a good summary of the Jews of the first century. "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved." Notice, "to fill up their sins," what's the next word? "Alway." Notice this last phrase. Very important phrase. "For the wrath is come upon them to the" what? So which uttermost does that mean? The uttermost according to Israel or of your salvation and mine? We can't have it both ways. Notice, wrath is come upon the Jews to the uttermost. So let me ask you, how long is uttermost? Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the..." Oh, that's a different uttermost, because that relates to my salvation. To the uttermost means to the uttermost. "That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." When I was reading this verse, it's like, to the uttermost means to the uttermost. So what does the uttermost mean? This is the official 1828 definition. Extreme, being in the furthest, greatest, or highest degree. As the uttermost extent or end, the uttermost distress. So let me ask you, do we want wrath to the uttermost until the 1948? Or do we want wrath to the uttermost like God means it? Israel, as we know it today, is not under God's blessing. They are under God's curse. You don't believe me? Read Deuteronomy 28, word for word, very carefully. Again, uttermost means to the uttermost. We cannot interpret the way we like things to be. I had to come to that realization as I studied this out. Notice with me Romans chapter 9. I've been emphasizing on purpose that there are two Israels mentioned in Scripture, and in particular Romans 9 through 11. We must understand. If we do not understand this, I believe that God is going to be limited on how much he can show us in his word. I'm more and more convinced that I am seeing more statements for what the Bible actually says than I ever have in the last 30 years. Notice Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and following. Uttermost. We cannot interpret it more than one way. It says here, Romans 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. The promises. Again, I know we saw this earlier, but I want you to notice it again. This is on purpose in relation to the nation of Israel as Israel stands now. Whose are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for, notice, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Until I started restudying this out according to what the Bible says, I have never noticed that statement for what it says. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. The Bible very clearly talks about Galatians 6:16, the Israel of God. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. You have national Israel, you have believing or elect Israel. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is on purpose given to us in Galatians chapter 4. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Hold your place there. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh. That's unbelieving Israel. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Notice again, Israel after the flesh. There's Israel after the flesh and there's believing Israel. Back in Romans 9. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. It's very important for us to see these things. Notice again, very clear, we're talking about two different Israels. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Then move on to chapter 9, verse 27. I forgot, there's another verse here. All right, so in the context of him talking about the Gentiles, even, verse 24, even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. All right, so we're not talking about just Jews. That's why I emphasized earlier. The church is God's representation of the kingdom of God now. Verse 27, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, notice this last statement, a remnant shall be saved. This is spiritual Israel. This is believing Israel. Now, chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. All right, so his people, who are his people? If it's only believing Israel, if they're not all Israel who are of Israel, then what Israel are we talking about? Whose people are we talking about? We're obviously talking about believing Israel because unbelieving Israel has been cast off. That's what this whole chapter is about. Unbelieving Israel, national Israel, has been cast off. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Was Saul of Tarsus a believer? Was the Apostle Paul a believer or an unbeliever? Believer, right? So he was part of the elect Israel, believing Israel. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. His people, wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now, you notice here again, he emphasizes this in relation to believing elect Israel. 7,000, a remnant out of Israel. Even so then, at this present time also there is a what? A remnant according to the election of grace. Let me ask you, what do the Ashkenazi Khazarian Jews in the state of Israel today believe? Do they believe this book right here? No, they have said they don't. That they want a nation without God's law. When they were established back in the 1940s, that's exactly what they said. Let me ask you, was the curse lifted then? Was it lifted? Then notice here, drop down to verse 19. Romans 11, verse 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. This is the Gentiles being grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Let me ask you, is Israel and the state of Israel today believing in their Messiah? Well, they're calling for the rebuilding of the temple. That's not the Messiah. The Messiah already has suffered, according to Hebrews. In fact, I've told you before, I believe with all my heart now that wanting to restore animal sacrifices in Israel is an affront to God the Father and the sacrifice that he gave of his once-for-all sacrifice of his Son. Read the book of Hebrews. I am noticing statements in Hebrews I've never noticed before, or at least paid attention to. God had a once-for-all sacrifice. He's the one who destroyed the temple. Oh, his sword, the Romans. Notice they were broken off because of unbelief. They're still in unbelief today. And thou standest by faith. Again, he's talking to Gentiles here now. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. All right, you think about all of these Protestant denominations now, and even so-called Baptist denominations, they're going apostate. They're turning away from the truth. God will cut them off just as much as he did anyone else. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. Now, again, this is the apostates. And they also, if. All right, so now we're talking about national Israel here. They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So when a Jew believes in their Messiah, he's able to graft them back in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? God is able to graft them right back into the same olive tree once again. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. If we're not careful, we'll look at the news and be ignorant of the mystery that God wants to show us. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part. Why? It's not totally, because there is a believing remnant. We've already seen that. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. And here's the phrase I want to emphasize again. I mentioned this here recently. Until. That is a very important word in this statement. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Let me ask you, is Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in Jerusalem today? Is he? Not the last I knew, anyway. If he is, he's doing it spiritually, like they talk about back in, you know, AD 70. He is not reigning. The times of the Gentiles have not been fulfilled. That is not an answer to prophecy, a fulfillment of prophecy in the state of Israel. The times of the Gentiles have not been fulfilled until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Now, read very carefully verse 26. This verse right here, this statement right here, is why we're doing this study today. And then all Israel shall be saved. Is that what your Bible says? That's the way we read it with dispensational interpretation. Then all Israel shall be saved. So when the rapture takes place and the time of the Gentiles is done, all Israel shall be saved. That's not what the Bible says. The word is so, not then. We're not talking about a timetable as far as the future. So all Israel shall be saved. What's all Israel? Chapter 9, verse 6 tells us what all Israel he's talking about. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Any of those who in state of Israel, Palestine, wherever you want to call it, will respond to the Messiah, then they will become a part of the remnant of Israel that will be saved. Notice, so all Israel shall be saved. The whole key is whether or not they're going to believe. not whether or not they're going to be in a state. It says, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Okay, let me ask you. I'm reading this word for word, phrase by phrase. This is a statement made from Isaiah 59, verses 20 and 21. Look at that last statement again and tell me whether or not prophecy has been fulfilled. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. All you have to do is do a quick Google search, Brave search, or whatever search engine you use. Type in Tel Aviv and sodomy. And you will find out that that is one of the most wicked cities in the world. Gay pride reigns there. Has ungodliness been turned away from Jacob yet? Obviously not. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. That's the new covenant. Only as Jews and Gentiles alike respond to Jesus Christ and what he's already done, they will never experience that. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. What do we mean by that? Chapter 11, verse 5. Even so, at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. I emphasize again, there's two Israels mentioned in Scripture, especially after AD 70. National unbelieving Israel and elect believing Israel remnant. Notice with me Deuteronomy 30. We're almost finished. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 and following. I was recently reading through Deuteronomy, and this is actually part of another reason why this has really grabbed my attention here recently after reading the book on the gospel of the kingdom of God. Notice here it says in Deuteronomy 30, in fact, I have a lot of statements underlined in this passage here because it was grabbing my attention. It says, and it shall come to pass when, it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. That's everything that's mentioned in the long chapter 28. I urge you, if you have any doubts of what I'm saying, all you have to do is read Deuteronomy 28, and you know that that's not a fulfillment of prophecy because they are still under the curse of God. All right, so when the blessing and the curse comes upon thee, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations. Notice, you're remembering Deuteronomy 28. All the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Did that not happen in AD 70 in particular? It's been that way for hundreds of years. And shall return unto the Lord thy God. Notice the returning is to God, not to the land. And shall return unto the Lord thy God and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. They don't want the Old Testament law. They've said that themselves. Notice, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, Zionist Israel has not returned to the Lord. That then, notice now the word then is in the Bible, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Notice, they have not met the condition yet. So what is in the state of Israel today is not of God. It's of the United Nations. It's of Great Britain, British Israelism. It's of the Roman Pope. They're the players that are behind all this, not God. If any of thine be driven out to the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand. and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land. Oh, this is a repeat of all that he said in chapter 28, verse 10. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Notice the conditions have not been met. I mean, there's other statements here. But he emphasizes it over and over again. See, I have set before thee this day, life and good, death and evil, and so on. They have not made the choice yet. Back in Deuteronomy 4, as we finish up, Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to close with this because of the word understanding. Understanding. And here's why this verse comes to my mind, this passage, I should say, comes to my mind. It's because of 1 Chronicles 12:32. You don't need to turn that. I'm going to read it for you. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I want you to consider this understanding. What is the source of that understanding? Can I point out the source of that understanding does not come from news headlines? The source of that understanding, so we know what to do, comes from the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and, notice, understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Our greatness is not going to be determined by our military might. As a nation, our greatness will be determined by whether or not we can return to this book right here. The same is true for the state of Israel. The same is true for the Jews. National Israel, again, is under God's curse. They have not chosen. Now, I believe very strongly. The more I study these things, the more I see it. I believe very strongly there's been deception through manipulation of the news. What else can you call it? Something that's happened for thousands of years is now placed side by side with what's going on in Israel. That's manipulation of news. That leads to deception if we're not careful. I also believe there's been deception through misapplication of Scripture. What saith the Scriptures? That should be our question. That should be our desire, to understand what the Scriptures say, not what the news seems to say according to what the Bible says. We have that then that all backwards. I also believe this from personal experience, that God will limit our understanding of Scripture when we allow ourselves to be under deception. I'm reading it the way I wrote it down, because I don't want to misspeak this. I want you to hear very clearly. I believe that God will limit our understanding of Scripture when we allow ourselves to be under deception. Okay, let me ask you. Why have there been so many churches bow to whatever the government says, and they don't ever see, what does God say about this? Right. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Well, I guess we're going to have to meet anyway. Amen. Regardless of what the government says.
Right.
Why is it that 90% of churches shut down for months? That's what they estimate. 75 to 90%. Of churches shut down for months because the government said so. Oh, by the way, the one who brought the blessing of God upon our nation, Donald Trump. You read some of the things that Dr. Birx is saying now. That was all planned. We have been deceived. As long as we remain under deception, we're going to have limited understanding to see what's going on. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Of anybody who should know what we should do, it's Baptist churches. Until we go back to understanding what the Scripture says, I believe very strongly with all my heart, We're going to be deceived more and more in these last days. I cannot urge you strong enough to hear what I just said. I believe people have been so deceived. Okay, why are people going into stores with masks on their faces if they've not been deceived? Lincoln's not even requiring them right now. We're under slavery. We don't even realize it.
Yep.
By the way, there was an article here recently. I didn't read it, but the headline is all I needed to see on it. Survivor of the Holocaust said the masks are symbols. These masks are symbols. Symbols of control. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not be deceived. Lord, there's so many times I study these things out and grieve in my own spirit. I did not see some of these things for about 30 years. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see what your word says to determine what is going on and understanding of the times. Lord, we need to use your word as the basis for our understanding, not the news headlines. So Lord, help us to be discerning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.